I want to preach on this subject this morning. You got to kind of, it's hard to understand the title if you don't see it written down, but I think you'll pick up on it. Here's the title of the message: No God, No Peace. No God, No Peace. No God, No Peace. No God, No Peace. Well, the first time I said it was N-O and N-O. Second time I mentioned it was K-N-O-W, K-N-O-W. And I think that the vast majority of what I'm seeing as I'm going out amongst the community is people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, it's not that they're not being a little more careful, and we should be. And it's not that we're ignoring it as if it doesn't exist, because it does. But you know what? They do not and are not captured with this spirit of fear and trepidation that you sense in people who do not know God. And that's because they K-N-O-W know God, and because of that, they K-N-O-W know peace. But those that I've talked to that seem like that they're handling this the worst are the ones that do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage, I thought about the young people that were coming back into church, and I really thought a lot about you young men, you young ladies that will be riding the buses. And this is the first chance I've had to look you in the eye and talk to you personally about this. And you know what? I want you to know that if you know God, I mean, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? You can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You don't have to walk around in fear and trepidation. I'm going to try to give you some ammunition. I'm going to try to give you something in your heart that'll help you to walk back out of here with your shoulders squared up a little bit and your head held high, and the faith of God in your heart to realize that I don't have to spend my life sneaking around, tiptoeing around, living in utter fear. There's people that want to keep you there, but that's not of God. And God does not want you to live with a spirit of fear, but to go forward in faith. So many people today are plagued by inner turmoil. And I want to say this before I talk about the peace of God. You cannot have the peace of God until you have made peace with God. You cannot have the peace of God until you've made peace with God. Every once in a while, I'll talk to a guy, and he wants to say, "Oh, don't, you know, I'll start trying to share the gospel." Yeah, you don't have to share that with me. Me and the big man upstairs, we have an understanding. Excuse me, as soon as I hear that, I know you're in trouble. Because if you really knew God the way you should know him, you wouldn't be talking about him like that. And by the way, you don't sit down and negotiate with God as far as he's going to give a little and you're going to give a little. That's not how salvation works. And so a lot of people don't have the peace of God because they've never made peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, we read in the first several verses of that chapter, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, "Therefore, being justified by faith," here it is, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Philippians here is going to talk about having the peace of God. But Romans is talking about salvation, being justified by faith. That's how you have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. That's the difference between someone that has peace with God and the peace of God. Tribulations are going to come. Things are going to come into our life. But we know some things, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," here it is, "Christ died for us." Now think about that. That's how we are able to have and make peace with God. Somebody wants to sit down as if they negotiated with God over a deal. I want to ask if there was a third party there. Because the Bible says that we only can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And maybe I could have, three of you guys help me out here. I'll use Asa if I can use you, and Jonathan and Luke if you come up here real quick. I want to explain this to you because I want you to see it. I want the young people to see it, because something happened, and I'm going to have you, if I can have you stand back over there, we'll put you out of the picture for now. I'm going to have you turned towards your brother here, okay, and you turn towards your brother here, and all righty. Now, I know this is really going to challenge your imagination, but We're going to pretend that this is God. Okay, all right, this is an amazing leap there. But anyway, here we go. And this is Adam, okay? And this is God, and this is Adam. And you know what? When God created Adam, he created him in a perfect state, and this was before sin. And you know what? They had perfect fellowship. But you know what? That old devil, stop listening to the devil, young people. He's a liar. He's a liar. You say, well, how do I know if he's lying? If his lips are moving, he's lying. He's a liar. Father of all lies. Stop listening to him, okay? He's trying to tell you something other than what that King James Holy Bible says, then he's lying, okay? But Adam and Eve believed the lie, and because of that, they turned their back on God. But you know what? It wasn't just that they turned their back on God. God's a perfect God, and now there's sin here, and God turned his back on them, and there was broken fellowship. Now we need a mediator. You better understand what salvation is. Better understand that this is a holy God. And you know what? Somebody needed to come and mediate between the two. And so we have, this is even worse, Jesus Christ. Here we go. We have Jesus Christ. Put your hands out like you're dying on the cross. There you go. All right, there he is. And he paid for all of our sins. And because he paid for our sins and he brought that precious blood up to the mercy seat of God and sprinkled it, all of a sudden God is in a place where he can accept man back. And God turns back to man, not only turning back with man, but hold out your hands like this. He's holding out to him the gift of eternal life. This is because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. It doesn't save this man, but it makes salvation available to this man and every other man, woman, child. Now you've got to make a decision. Say, preacher, why are you wasting 4 hours on a Saturday out knocking on doors? Because I'm trying to find this guy. Because I want to open my Bible up and tell him that, we're all sinners. And you know what? Because of our sin, God had to turn his back on us, and he had to the hell that was created for the devils and his angels now is our destination. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ died for us. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell. Jesus came down and done it for us. And now, you know what? He's satisfied the righteousness of God and the holiness of God. And God stands behind you with the gift of eternal life waiting for you. You still got it. The gift of eternal life waiting for you. But you know what, folks? I can stand here and tell this man this, but I can't turn him around. You know what repentance is? Repentance is a part of salvation. Repentance, if you look up the word repentance, it just means a change of direction. It just means I was facing away from God. Now I'm willing to turn to God and receive the gift of eternal life. And so when a man does this, turns around, reaches out and receives the gift of eternal life, he does so because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for his sins. I want you to understand this. You're never going to have the peace of God till you make peace with God. And Jesus made it possible for that to happen. I was a little 5-year-old boy going to the Rock Run Baptist Church. And you know what? If a 5-year-old boy can understand he's a sinner, and if a 5-year-old boy can't understand that, he's in la-la land. I mean, come on. He needs to sit down and have a talk with his mama, all right? But if I can understand that I'm a sinner, and I can understand that there's a hell awaiting me, and I can understand Jesus loved me so much that he died on the cross for my sins, and I can realize all I need to do is, by faith, thank God for the grace of God. By faith, just call out and ask Jesus to save me, that he'd save me just the way I was. And that's what happened from that day forward. I became a child of God, gift of eternal life. Never had to lay my head on my pillow since then and worry about where I'm going to spend eternity. Oh, it's a good thing. Let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you don't, we're going to give an invitation at the end of the service. And don't get excited. It's not going to be for a little while. But we're going to give an invitation at the end of the service. And you know what? You can come forward and we'll get someone to take the Bible and show you, but they can't get saved for you. They can't get saved for you and they can't save you. But they can tell you about the one that can. Thank you, gentlemen. You can be seated. I appreciate that. I want you to have that picture in your mind. You know what? When Jesus came down, he satisfied the holiness of God. He paid the price. God can now accept man back. But now each of us have to make the decision whether or not we're going to make peace with God. Okay, preacher, I've done that and I'm saved. Let's talk about the peace of God, the peace of God. Well, I'm going to switch that around and I want to read some verses to you and just one right after another. But you know what? There's several places in the Bible where we see God take the title of the God of peace, the God of peace. I like that. Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I like that one. Philippians 4:19, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, this is part of our theme verse for the year. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to look at a couple of those verses today. We won't preach on all of them, but young people, I want you to go home with the peace of God in your heart. I don't want you to live your life in fear. If you're saved today, you know what? You've made peace with God, but you can also have the peace of God. It's sad that people, some Christians that have the peace, have made peace with God, still do not have the peace of God, but it's available. It's available. How can I have the peace of God? Let's preach through some of these verses. Number one, you can have peace because God promises he will be with you. He will be with you. Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Philippians 4:9. The God of peace shall be with you. Shall be with you. You know what? The devil would like to convince you that you're all alone. But you're not all alone if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. I remember sitting in that Rock Run Baptist Church and hearing the gospel. And I remember as a young boy listening to my pastor's wife after she'd take the kids and herd them back there on Wednesday nights, put us in a semicircle and teach Bible stories to us. And that's where I learned how to be saved. That's how I got saved, received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But that's also how I learned my first things that I learned about Jesus. I tell the story, but I'm going to tell you something. You can have a best friend. I hear young people say sometimes, well, I don't have a best friend. I don't have any friends. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's a shame because Jesus wants to be your best friend. I mean, he's offering to be your best friend. But I remember Mrs. Evans coming in one night and all of us kids were in a semicircle and she was standing in front of us and she said, I want you to tell me who your best friend is. Who's your best friend? One at a time we went around and named different kids in the neighborhood or somebody we went to school with or somebody that we played sports with. And when we got all done, she looked as like she was going to weep. She looked so distraught. And she began to say, I've failed. I've failed you as a teacher. I've failed you as a teacher. And I thought, what is going on? She said, not one of you mentioned Jesus. Not one of you named him as your best friend. I've got to do a better job as a teacher. I never have, all these years later, I never have forgot that. Something clicked in my brain as a little boy. That woman taught me something. Jesus wants to be your best friend. You know what? I was just silly enough to believe it. I remember walking out there as a little boy, and for the first time in my life, began to start talking to Jesus like he was my best friend and began to talk to him. Listen, I loved running through the woods and fishing up and down, running up and down the creek, and I spent a lot of time honestly alone, but I wasn't alone. He says, like that Jerry Ross is a loner. No, sometimes he just liked to be with Jesus, you know. And to me, it was just normal. It was just, to me, it made sense. And you know what? If I went to school and nobody wanted to be my friend, I didn't feel alone. And walk around feeling sorry for myself. I had the best friend in the world. You know, one of the things that will give you the peace of God, young people, is that, you know what? Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that the God of peace promises he will be with you. He will be with you. I don't have to face tomorrow by myself. Neither do you. Preacher, what about this and what about this? And I don't know what the future holds. I don't either, but I know who holds the future. And you know what? He's my best friend. You know, every once in a while I'll run into folks, and it just happened again recently. I visited a home and knocked on the door, and I heard somebody yell from the backyard, and I went around the trailer, and there in the backyard, several men were sitting on a picnic table, and they had a big two or three cases of beer, and they were well into their way of polishing off those cases of beer. And I walked into that situation, laid the packets down in front of them, the gospel tracts, and said, I'd like to invite you in church. And you know what? Men like that, that are drinking, especially in a group, it's got to show off to each other. Several of them decided it was time to be disrespectful to the preacher, and so they began to laugh and cuss and swear and mock the church and mock God and the existence of God. And one of them looked at me and said, let me tell you all that religion is. It's a crutch. Religion's a crutch. And I looked at, it was my turn to start laughing, and I literally busted out laughing, and they looked at me, and I said, don't you sit at a picnic table with two cases of beer in front of you and talk about me needing a crutch. I said, I'll bet you're here every weekend, aren't you? This is how you get through every weekend of your life. Don't you talk about me needing a crutch. That's your crutch. You know what? Because of Jesus, I don't need a crutch. Come on, think about that. I told him, why don't you read the Gospels? I told him, listen, I'm going home, okay? You believe what you want to believe. Why don't you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Why don't you open the Bible and be honest enough to read the story of Jesus and see where he went and found a well person and made them crippled and handed them a crutch? I said, that's a lie of the devil. He did just the opposite. I said, by the way, he could fix that crutch in your life if you'd let him. Are you listening to me? Jesus made it so a crippled man no longer needed a crutch. He made it so a blind man no longer needed a tapping stick. He made it so a deaf man no longer needed to try to read someone else's lips. He made it so that a mute man no longer needed a parchment and some charcoal. He made it so that the possessed man no longer needed to be chained. He made it so that the dead son raised out of a coffin and took his widow mom home and cared for her the rest of her life. He made it so the paralyzed man no longer needed to sit beside the road and beg for coins. He made it so that 5,000 hungry people no longer needed to feel the pains of hunger. He made it so that lepers could once again hold their children and live with their wives and walk the streets of their hometown, no longer needing to cry out, unclean, unclean. Don't talk to me about a crutch. He made it so that a fallen woman found forgiveness, healing, and respectability. He made it so that a sinful publican could hold up his head and go home justified and forgiven. I just want to say to anybody who might be listening, you want to use that crack about religion being a crutch. Don't sit there with your beer and tell me about my crutch. Don't chug your Jim Beam and tell me about my crutch. Don't sip your wine and then point a finger of accusation at the church. Don't sit there and smoke your pot and then tell me about how my religion's a crutch. Don't cook your meth and then accuse me of needing a crutch. Don't suck on your cigarette and then tell me about my crutch. Don't sit there a slavery to pornography and fornication and adultery and then tell me about my crutch. Because you know what? Jesus kept me from having to have any of those crutches. Don't sit in your home and spend 40 hours a week either zombied out in front of a television or hiding in the fantasy world of your video games and then tell me about my crutch. What are you saying, preacher? I want you young people to know something. If you know God, you can know peace. But if you have no God, you have no peace. And I want to remind our young people, you're not alone. The God of peace promises to be with you. I want to read this verse, Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, it's interesting if you think about this. Of all the places where God chose to use the title of God of peace in the Bible, he says in Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall what? Bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I thought we were talking about a God of peace. You know what, folks? Sometimes in order to have peace, you got to have war. One of the things that I think all of our nation needs to be reminded of, in order to have peace, listen, you don't have peace through weakness, you have peace through strength. And you know one of the ways that I know I can have the peace of God is that I serve a God that's stronger than my worst enemy. I serve a God that's stronger than my worst enemy. See, it's Satan that attacks us and Satan that tries to rob us of peace. He attacks us with temptation, he attacks us with discouragement. Attacks us with our past failures, our present shortcomings. He attacks us with the allurement of this present world. He'll attack your mind and your spirit, your emotions, and attacks our flesh and attacks our family. And the devil's a bully. He's a bully. But guess what? Because I have God with me, the God of peace says, you don't have to worry about him. I'll take care of him. He said, I'll stand up to him. I'll take care of him. I love 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I like telling this story. We took all of our teenagers, young people, and some of our adults to the Navajo Indian Reservation a few years back. And we went to the reservation there. We were knocking different neighborhoods and all of this. And on the res, with Brother Nez, on the res. That's where we were. And we went to a certain neighborhood I was looking at. And I said, hey, have you ever knocked the doors over there? And he said, that's not a real good neighborhood. And I said, well, it's daylight. And some of these kids, the parents probably wouldn't care if I didn't bring them home anyway. And so let's go. And so we went over there, and the thing that what he was worried about was not the people being a bad situation, but those res dogs. I mean, if you've never been on the reservation, those dogs that they keep on the reservation, I mean, some of them are dangerous. They will eat you alive. And we got the kids out of there, and we scattered some of them down one way, and I took Ian. Me and Ian. Where's Ian at? Is Ian here? Me and Ian. We jumped off the bus, and I said, let's just do this circle several houses. And man, as soon as we got off the bus, all these huge dogs come running, and I mean, they're barking and growling at us. And it was not a good-looking situation for a while. We're just trying to get to every door, invite them to church, and give them a gospel track. And man, I'm afraid to turn my back. About the time I turn, here comes one at me from this way, and here comes one at me from this way. And I'm thinking, the bus has already left. Me and Ian, they left us. Me, Ian, and the Lord. Amen. I'm glad the Lord was there. But we're right in the middle of this. I mean, literally a pack of dogs around us. And I don't know how to get from where I'm at to the next house, because I'm thinking, and I've got, Brother Morris's little boy with me. And I'm thinking, boy, here we go. Well, all of a sudden, here comes around the corner this big, giant black dog. And he was the meanest dog on the block. And I thought a bad situation just got a lot worse. He came right over to us, stood beside us. And he just kind of looked at us, and we looked at him. He turned around and started tearing into every dog around us. He walked us to every door and right beside it. And if a dog got close to us, he took off after it and chased it. I mean, bite it and take it. I mean, run it off. And we went to every door in that neighborhood with this big, giant, mean black dog that just decided that he liked me. I don't think he liked Ian that well, but he liked me. And he was going to protect us. And you know what I thought, and I hope you don't think I'm being disrespectful. But folks, listen to me. When you go out to represent God, you go out into this world, I'm afraid some of you kids, they've got you so scared about this COVID-19 that they're going to, if you're not careful, you're going to be taken over with the spirit of fear. Do you realize that if you are saved, you have God with you, and you have God protecting you? And you know what? I thought about that many times. A little lesson I learned as I was going around those reservations was, you know what? Whether I know it or not, God always has his protector. Usually it's a guardian angel, it was a guardian dog that day, but he's always got my back, and he's got your back too. I want you to have peace. I want you to have the peace of God. I want you to understand that God has promised that he'll take care of us. Wasn't that good? Don't worry about the devil. He's not stronger than God. And by the way, God is bigger than COVID-19 also. I think Americans need to take a breath and in some instances grow up a little bit. Number three, you can have peace because God has given you a church. I want to say this because it's right in the teaching. It's in the scriptures. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, you know what, if you'll go to church. And he said, hey, I was the preacher. You go to church. And you know what? If you'll listen to the word of God and you'll listen to good Christian people that are living out the word of God and you'll just mimic that and do that in your life, hey, you can have the peace of God. I'm going to tell you something. When we weren't meeting in church, I was missing my peace. I mean, there was a source of peace. And I was here for every service. Sometimes we pre-recorded. But I was here for every service. But I'm telling you what. Me and a handful of people, doing the service so that the rest could watch it. And that's not church, folks. That's not the same as church. You know why? Because I need you and you need me. And you need the church house. And there's something about coming in and just, you know what, you think, I don't know if I can make it another week. And you think, boy, there's brother so-and-so, and think all he's going through. Man, he's honestly, him and his family's going through a tougher time than me, and he walked in the door. There's old sister so-and-so, and you know what? She just went to the funeral home and then to the cemetery recently, and I know she's got a broken heart, but look, there she is. If she can do it, I can do it. And there's something about God's people just holding each other up during tough times that helps us to understand the peace of God in our life. So I'm excited. I want to share one more thought. We'll get out of here. You can have peace of God because you can have peace because God understands you are a project. You are a project. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Another thing that robs us of peace is failure. You know, sometimes we're going to be trying and trying, and we want to do the right thing, and we want to say the right thing. We want to be the right thing, but we fail. And you know what? I want to remind you of something. God understands that we're a project. It's a sanctification project that he's taken on. And you know what? God has promised that he'll forgive us, and God has promised that he'll pick us up. Folks, salvation happens in an instant. Glorification will happen in an instant time also, but sanctification takes a lifetime. You ought not wish to fail in your Christian life, but can I just be honest with you? At times you're going to fail. I have good news for you. God knew that you were a project when he took you on. We love to hear our children sing, and they do from some time to time. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Still working on me, still working on you. And listen to me. I want you to do your best, and I think we ought to. We ought not to want to fail. But when we do, I want you to understand something, that God, it's the God of peace that's taken on the job of sanctifying us wholly. If you fall down, get back up, okay? Keep coming to church. Keep listening to the Word of God. Do the best you can. Get up every morning, open your King James Holy Bible, read some verses. Get on your knees and say, God, I'm going to need your help to get through today again. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. Be the best you can be for God. At the end of the day, aren't you glad we have 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even though I'm not always at peace with how every day went, when I lay my head on my pillow, I can regain the peace of God through forgiveness that's available for my failures and sins and shortcomings. Oh, I want you to be baptized in it. I want some of you that are a little jittery and a little worried, and can I just say it? I think is our overreacting a little bit. I want you to get rid of the fear and ask God for the peace. I want faith to kick in. Come on, faith to kick in. Faith to kick in. Hey, you know what? It took some faith for those bus workers to go out there yesterday. It took some faith for us to start knocking on doors. It took some faith. It's going to take faith for our teenagers. Starting this Wednesday, teen soul winning starts back up. You know what? Pray for our teenagers. I don't know why it is, but people in the community, they always feel like they can be meaner to teenagers than they can some of our adults. And I don't know why it's that way. Shame on them. You know what? With what they're looking around the community and seeing young people become, they ought to shake their hand. They ought to congratulate them that they're out there doing something right. But sometimes they'll be mean to our kids, or they'll feel like that they have a right to chew them out in the way they might not say something to me or you. You just pray for them. But young people, don't worry about it. Go out there with the peace of God. You know what? They're eat up. They're slaves of fear. You're not a slave of fear. You made peace with God through salvation. You have the peace of God because you're doing his will. Don't worry about it. Don't let anybody steal that peace from you. Don't let them steal it from you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Have you made peace with God? If you died today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Could you say, preacher, I know 100% sure, based on the Bible, I can go to the Bible and show you Bible reasons for saying this. It's not pride, it's not arrogance, not because of who I am or what I am. It's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross and what he did in my heart. But preacher, I know that I know that I know for sure that I'm ready for heaven. If you don't have the peace, that peace with God, then Jesus Christ has made it possible for that to happen in your life. God is turned back towards you. He holds out to you the gift of eternal life. Salvation is when you repent, you turn from your sins, from the world, towards God, and accept His gift of eternal life. That's what salvation is. If you've never been saved, as soon as, just in a minute, as soon as we stand and as soon as the piano begins to play, I would pray that you'd come forward and receive Christ this morning. Heavenly Father, bless, dear God, our invitation time. Speak to hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. With